Well, blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing through 2 Samuel up to the 9th chapter. And this is a great little story right here. Not a fictional story, just an account of something that happened. And we've already seen allusions to this in previous portions of the scripture we looked at, particularly in 1 Samuel, like the 20th chapter. And you're about to see why. So let's just look at it. Verse 1 says this. Then David said, now notice that, then David said, so David has found peace, all this stuff, he's got his house, everything, he's living well. Then David said, is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And so he's reflecting upon the covenant relationship that he and Jonathan had. And remember how Jonathan had told him, hey, when you arise to the level of being king, will you please take care of my family? Will you please watch over the house? And David agreed to that. Saul had actually said the same thing to David, and David agreed to it. So now David's reflecting, is there anybody left of the house of Saul? We've seen most of the house of Saul have died. Now, verse 2. Now, there was a servant of the house of Saul, whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. Verse 3. The king said, is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the loving kindness of God? Now, we may think, well, this is just a, you know, a simple little honest question, but this is a loaded question. Because if there had been anybody in the house of Saul, I imagine they would have been laying sort of low, don't you? Sort of high, and particularly if you're high up and say a son or a grandson of Saul, you wouldn't want to put yourself out there, because the usual position of the king in power would be to eliminate anybody that might be a threat. So now David is asking, is there anybody? Ziba had a decision to make at this point in time. Am I going to trust this king? Am I going to walk in fear? Am I going to walk in faith or what? Watch what he does. And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. So he let the king know there is one. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Verse 6, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. So his name is Mephibosheth. What does that name mean? I didn't even look that up. The name means exterminating the idol. There is something about that. I remember chasing that around once, but I don't remember what it is right now. So he comes, and you can imagine he might be sort of fear-filled. I don't know. It's sort of a tense situation. He falls before the king. And remember, he's lame in both feet. And usually somebody who was lame and infirm like that would not even be allowed to come before the king. He comes, and he bows before the king. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he said, here is your servant. And David said to him, do not fear. Well, there we go. David could sense that he was fearful. Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly. You know, I'm reminded, just in the reading of this again right now, of we see in several places in Scripture how you literally can go from the dungeon to second in the kingdom. Remember, that's what happened with Joseph. Then you can go from living with somebody who's obviously showing you kindness, perhaps even hiding you, I'm not sure. But you can go from that to this status right here. Did you hear what David said? He said, I'm going to give you and restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul. Everything that Saul had ever attained to from a personal perspective was going to be granted to his grandson. And then he said, you shall eat at my table regularly. One of the things that we've seen in this chapter right here, in the previous chapter, and a couple chapters before that too, is how David was holding the blessings of God with an open hand. Remember how he dedicated the booty that he got from conquering all these nations. He dedicated it to the Lord himself. And he gave it to the Lord. Here, he's given it back to Jonathan's son. Verse 8 now. Again, he prostrated himself and said, this is Mephibosheth. what is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me? Then the king called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. So he's saying, okay, you were underneath Saul. Saul was your master. See, David's not even saying that I'm your master now. He's saying, Saul was your master. I'm giving Saul's stuff to his grandson right here. Verse 10, David's still speaking to Ziba. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly. And then this last little sentence of this verse says this. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. So he was not lacking. Okay, he had 15 sons. He had 20 servants. Now David has given him a new purpose in life right here. He says, hey, I want you to cultivate all this land, your former master's land. Now his grandson is your master. And I want you to cultivate it, and I want you to bring it into where he can have food. But he doesn't have to worry about that because he's going to be eating at my table regularly. There is such a picture here of following through with covenant promises, of following through with the blessings of God and how to handle the blessings of God. There's such a typological picture here of King David as literally as the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, how he provides for us. Now, here's the last three verses of this chapter. Then Ziba went to the king, according to all, or he said to the king, according to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so your servant will do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. So it wasn't like that he ate at the table just once a month or this and that. He ate as one of the king's sons. Well, when does a king's son eat at the table with the king? Well, generally speaking, whenever he wants to, because he's the king's son. It's not the kind of thing that he always had to be there, like you would see with some of these kings, okay? But he had the freedom to come and go. He ate at the king's table, and he was considered to be one of the king's sons. Now, verse 12. Mephibosheth had a son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate at the king's table regularly. Now, he was lame in both feet. And that's how the chapter ends. Just a reminder, as it starts at the beginning, hey, he was lame in both feet. He couldn't move about regularly like most people can. And it closes with the same thing. But do you see how David fulfilled what he promised to Jonathan, how David fulfilled what he promised to Saul, to take care of their progeny, to take care of their house, not to exterminate them, not to do. David went even beyond that and blessed them in ways they could never have imagined. So does the Lord Jesus Christ for those who are his. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you next episode. Goodbye.